Good morning. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Last week, I mentioned that we were going to look kind of at two ends of the spectrum in the Proverbs. So last week, we looked at train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We thought about children and how to train up our children. Well, this morning we're going to look at the other end of the spectrum, and we're going to think about what the scriptures have to say about gray hair. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 16, verse 31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning grateful that it is Sunday, grateful for a weekly reminder that you are alive, that you have been raised from the dead, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning on your throne. And so, Father, now we, as your children, we want to sit down at your feet. Lord, we want to listen to your word. We want our minds to be shaped by your word. Father, we do not live in a world that is helping us in any way have our minds shaped in the way that we should go. And so we need your word to shape our minds. Father, we pray that this morning you would take your word and that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Old age. Old age is a term that could bring many different things to your mind. If you're a kid, the term old age may remind you of a grandparent or perhaps older saints within our own congregation. In preparation for this sermon, I asked my kids who they thought the oldest people in our church were. And wouldn't you know it, the second person they mentioned was Pastor Matt. Old age may bring to mind things like aches, pains, and forgetfulness. It's a term that reminds us how much slower we are than we once were. Old age might remind you of caring for an aging parent in their time of need. Or perhaps some of you, when you think of old age, you think, you know, age is more of a mental thing than really a number of years. I mean, after all, isn't 60 the new 50, 70 the new 60, and 80 the new 70? So we really never actually get old as long as we think of ourselves as being young. Or perhaps when you think of old age, you envision getting stuck behind a sweet little old lady going 25 miles per hour in a 45 mile per hour zone, and you're late for work. Old age is something that young people don't really like to think about and don't really think about because that seems so far away. In our culture, in American culture, we often associate old age with things like Medicare, Social Security, or retirement. And in the most extreme views, old age can be associated with things as horrendous as euthanasia. Now, regardless of what comes to your mind when you think about old age, I think it's pretty clear that our culture really doesn't generally have a positive view of getting old. And that's understandable, isn't it? Because getting old does hurt. Getting old does bring less sharpness to the mind. Getting old does require more doctor's visits. Getting old ends you up in more funerals, going to more funerals and saying goodbye to more friends and to more loved ones and family members. So we don't necessarily have a positive view of old age. However, when you turn to the scriptures, when you turn to the Word of God, you will find that the Bible does not take a negative view of old age. In fact, quite the opposite. The scriptures have a positive view of old age. The scriptures revere old age and honors gray hair. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to challenge each and every one of us to think differently about gray hair. And this sermon is not just for those with gray hair. Okay, this sermon is for the youngest of children all the way to the oldest saints within our congregation. All of us need to think differently about gray hair. We need to act differently towards gray hair. And we need to understand exactly why it is that the Word of God honors those with gray hair. So that's where we're headed this morning. So let's begin. First of all, if you're taking notes, I have 3 points this morning. My first point is this. We should think differently about gray hair. We should think differently about gray hair. Now, the way that Hebrew poetry often works is you have two lines. You'll notice this as we've been reading the Proverbs. And the first line states something. And then the second line can do one of three things. It can either contrast that first statement, it can clarify the first statement, or it can expand upon the first statement. And in the case of our verse, Proverbs 16:31, it's the latter. The second line really clarifies and expands what is meant by the first line. And we're going to see that as this sermon plays itself out. But again, let's look at our verse. Verse 31 of Proverbs 16, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Now, perhaps I should begin by just stating the obvious. If you are bald or you have genes that do not cause your hair to turn gray, that does not disqualify you from this verse. Okay? What this is implying here is age. Okay? It's referring to those who have the majority of their life in the rearview mirror, so to speak. And here's what the scriptures say about gray hair. It is a crown of glory. Now, to understand that, we need to understand a little bit more about how the Proverbs speaks to us about old age, about gray hair. So, if you would, just turn back a few chapters in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9, verses 10 and 11 says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. Okay, according to this proverb and many more proverbs like this one, days are multiplied, years are added, gray hair is achieved through what? Through wisdom. Through the fear of the Lord. Long life is obtained in the book of Proverbs by living wisely. And this is especially true when you think about the opposite of wise living, which is, of course, living foolishly. Think about all of the foolishness that has led people's lives to be cut short. I was reading this past week of a 22-year-old man named Eric Barcia. And Eric was a fast food worker in Virginia. And in the year 1997, Eric Barcia decided that he wanted to go bungee jumping. But he did not have the proper equipment. So he proceeded to collect a bunch of short bungee cords. You know, the kind that you probably have in your garage? The ones with the little hooks on the end of them? So he collected a whole bunch of these bungee cords and connected them to each other, and then he reinforced them with duct tape. He then proceeded to go to the top of a 70-foot railroad bridge, attached one end of the handcrafted bungee cord to the railroad bridge, attached the other end to his ankle, and then he jumped. The next morning, his body was found dead at the bottom of that railroad bridge. And interestingly enough, the cord did not break. He made it too long. ...22-year-old life cut short because of utter foolishness. And there is more of that kind of foolishness in our culture and in our society than you would like to think. Okay, they make movies that are completely dedicated to just showing people doing those kinds of foolish things. But it's not just those big kinds of foolishness. There's also what I'll call common foolishness as well. Things like not wearing your seatbelt, picking up the habit of smoking, or not carefully paying attention to your diet. Okay, these are all things that can lead to a life being cut short. But here's the point. The point is that foolishness, not living wisely, is the very thing that can hinder you from obtaining gray hair. Because living foolishly will kill you before you even get there. Okay, that is the message that the book of Proverbs is trying to communicate. If you make it to old age, you are considered wise because the fool typically doesn't live long enough to get there. Okay, so gray hair is symbolic for wisdom. Now, we need to remember, these are Proverbs. Okay, we all know people who have lived to a ripe old age that are foolish. And we also know people who were very wise who died young. But this is telling us, generally speaking, this is the way the world works. Okay, now go back to Proverbs 16:31. Again, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. I want you to think about a crown for a moment. Crowns, of course, were typically worn by kings. And a crown communicated something. When you saw the king and you saw him specifically wearing a crown, that was a symbol of authority. Okay, it was a symbol of authority, and it communicated that honor was due to the one that wore that crown. But a crown did something else. It was also beautiful and adorning. Turn over just a few chapters, if you'd like, to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 speaks of the beauty of this crown. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." Proverbs 20:29 says, when you're young, your glory is that you have your strength. Mary and I often comment how wise God is to have young people be the ones raising babies and toddlers. Because it would be very difficult to do that without having your youth, without having your energy. And so the Proverbs tells us that the glory of a young man is his vigor, it's his strength, it's his energy. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that far too often, the culture we live in would ignore the second line of this verse. If this proverb were written by our culture, it would say the glory of man, not just young man, but the glory of man in general, is their strength, period. That would be the cultural writing of Proverbs 20:29. If you've lost your strength, if you've lost your vitality, and you no longer contribute in substantial ways to society, then your glory is all but spent. But that is not what the text says. it says that the splendor of old men is their gray hair. Now, that word for splendor there could also be translated ornament. Now, when you think of ornaments, most of you probably think about Christmas time. And I'm going to guess at Christmas time, most of you, when you put up a Christmas tree, don't put up a bare evergreen tree in your living room. Okay, I'm going to guess that most of you decorate your tree with ornaments. And why do you do that? You do it to make the tree beautiful. Because that's what ornaments are meant to do. They are meant to take something that would otherwise be plain and bare and make them better and beautiful. The Bible says the ornament, the beauty, the splendor of old men, of old women, is their gray hair. Gray hair is a crown of glory. Even more than that, it is the jewels in the crown that makes it so beautiful. Most of us don't think of gray hair like that. In fact, we live in an age where we try to cover up the very thing that would communicate that we are old. We buy things like hair dyes to keep all of the gray out of our hair. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to put hair dye in your hair, but maybe we should ask ourselves, why do we do that? Could it be that we have a more worldly view of aging than we have a biblical view of it? Our world tells us that youth is the single most important season of a person's life. And so we have to try and hold on to our youth as long as we possibly can. And we need to give off the vibe to the world that we, even though we're 70, are young and we're hip and we're energetic and ready to go. But the Bible says that the splendor of a man is his age. The Bible says that the ornament and beauty is their gray hair, which is their wisdom gained through a righteous life. And so if you're here this morning and you would consider yourself to be in the gray hair category, and I'm going to let you decide whether you're in that category or not, then I want to encourage you to think differently about your gray hair. Do not take the cultural view. You do not have to try and cover up the fact that you are getting old. You do not have to be ashamed of your age. You can even embrace the aches, the pains, the forgetfulness, as evidence that God has in fact blessed you with the gift of long life. Mark Twain once said, "Do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many." Old age is a gift. It is a crown of glory. Don't despise it. I also want to encourage those of you who have gray hair to recognize that God is not done with you. I don't know if you noticed, but a few weeks ago at our members' meeting when we put forward elder candidates, all of our elder candidates are older than Pastor Matt and myself. There's a reason for that. We need wisdom. This church needs the wisdom of gray hair. And you don't have to be an elder candidate. We need all the gray hair at Vine Community Church. Okay, we are a church, by God's grace, teeming with little ones and with children. Okay, we got two babies on the way and probably more to come. mothers with gray hair, whether you're grandparents or not. The young moms in this church need your wisdom. They need your experience. We have at least two newly married couples in our church, and we have several more married couples who have been married for less than 5 years. Okay, we need your wisdom to be passed on. We have many singles within our church who need wisdom to know how to make the best use of their time, how to make the best use of their single years. They need your wisdom. The Lord is not done with you. Don't step aside to make room for all of the young people, but rather come alongside and pass on your wisdom to the next generation. Okay, so I want us to think differently about gray hair. Second point. Not only should we think differently about gray hair, but we should also act differently towards gray hair. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Some of you may be surprised to learn that this verse is even in the Bible. Leviticus 19, verse 32. Leviticus 19, verse 32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." God's word instructs us to how we are to act in the presence of the elderly. Now, a few of you know that I am a bit of an Anglophile when it comes to British-produced movies and TV shows, specifically films that are in the, I'll call, Pride and Prejudice era of shows and movies. And one of the reasons that I really enjoy those films and shows, most of which that take place in the 1800s, is because in that time period, people understood the concept of honor. Okay, so for example, if you watch any of those shows, you'll notice that when if there's a group of guys lounging, relaxing, and a young lady walks into the room, they immediately stand up. Why do they do that? They do that to show honor to the young lady. Or in a similar way, if a group of younger people are gathered in a room and someone older and wiser walk into the room, they stand up. Why would they do that? To show honor to the one who is older than them. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that we should immediately stand up the moment that an older person walks into a room, though that might not be a bad habit to recapture. But what I am saying is that we should act differently towards those with gray hair. There should be something different in our behavior. Whether that's standing up when someone walks in or whether that's something else, there should be something that shows that we honor them. That's the point Leviticus 19:32 is making, is that we should treat those that are older than us with a distinct honor and respect that we would not show our equal. And we see a few examples of this in the Bible. One is in the book of Job. You can turn there if you'd like, but Job chapter 32. In Job 32, most of Job's friends have already taken their shot at trying to understand why Job is allowed to go through so much suffering, why so much suffering is happening to him. And then the last person to speak up of Job's friends is also the youngest. And you'll notice why he says that he was the last to speak. This is Job 32, starting in verse 6. "And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are aged. Therefore, I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, let days speak, and many years teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that makes him understand. It is not the old who are wise, nor the aged who understand what is right. Therefore, I say, listen to me. Let me declare my opinion to you. Okay, so Elihu understood honoring the aged. Okay, he knew before he dared to open his mouth, he ought to let those that were older than him speak first. You'll notice that he says he even had a fear. There was a timidity within him that kept him from speaking out of turn before those that were older than him. Now, as you read on, you'll see, as is true, Elihu also understood wisdom ultimately comes from the hand of God. It ultimately comes from God Almighty. But the point that I want to make is that Elihu's first instinct was right. It's not that a young man can't speak or that a young man doesn't have wisdom. Okay, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here right now. But in our culture, we have swung the pendulum so far to the other side that you will rarely, if ever, see a youth hesitant to declare their opinion to an older person out of honor and reverence and respect for their age. Children just don't carry this kind of reverent attitude and behavior towards those with gray hair. One of my children recently, and I won't say which one it was, but was recently asked by an older saint to open the door for them because they were carrying something, to which my child responded that they needed to finish getting their dessert first. Now, I could blame my child for that, but I actually think that says a lot more about me as a parent. You see, our children are not going to naturally follow Leviticus 19:32. It's just not going to be wired into them from birth to honor those that are older than them. Now, at least in those days, the culture kind of helped to reinforce that idea. We live in no such culture. We do not live in a society that helps reinforce the idea that we should honor those that are older. And so how will our children ever possess this kind of reverent, honoring attitude towards gray hair unless we train them, unless we teach them, unless we instruct them, unless we model it for them ourselves and even discipline for it when they sin? Could it be that we expect far too little from our children and how they honor the elderly? You know, every culture has blind spots, and 100 years from now, our great-grandchildren will be able to look back and see what our culture's blind spots were. Could it be that one of our blind spots is that we are raising up a generation that do not show respect to the elderly? You know, in Isaiah chapter 3, God is declaring judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. And in Isaiah 3 verse 5, God says that one of the punishments is going to be that the youth will no longer honor the elderly. Listen to what Isaiah 3 5 says. And the people will oppress one another, everyone his fellow and everyone his neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder and the despised to the honorable. How do you know a society is under God's judgment? One way you can tell is that the youth do not honor and respect those that have gray hair. And so kids, listen to me for a moment. I want to challenge you to think about this. God's word takes seriously the way that you treat those that are older than you. When you're hanging out around church, when you're running around with your friends and talking and hanging out before and after church, take notice of those with gray hair. Greet them. Show them that you care about them. Offer to help them or assist them. Open a door for them. You know, one really practical way that we could show honor to those with gray hair is whenever we have a potluck, let those that are older go through the line first. I know you're hungry and you want to make sure you get through the line before all the barbecue meatballs are gone. But remember Leviticus 19:32. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. And then listen to the connection. You shall fear the Lord. I am the Lord. Part of the way that we fear God is by showing honor to those with gray hair. Now, for those of us in the middle, we don't have gray hair yet. We're not children either. We also need to follow these instructions. And we need to model them for our children. I want you to listen to how Paul spoke about this to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul, of course, is writing to his young protege, Timothy, probably a man in his 30s, young man. Listen to what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity." How do you speak to your brother? Do you give him a respectful yes, sir? No. When you disagree with your brother, are you willing to push hard against him and let him know that you disagree? Yeah, you are. Are you going to hold back from speaking bluntly to your brother? Probably not. Okay, there is a way that we speak to our brother, whether that's your brother physically by blood or whether that's your brother in Christ, kind of your equal in age or period in life. But we're not to treat fathers, those that are older, mothers, those that are older in the church, in the same way. Notice what Paul says. Don't rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. It's not to say that if there's an older man that needs to be corrected or an older man that's not walking according to the word of God that you don't approach him, but you're going to approach it with a different attitude, with an honor, and with a respect. With a different tone. There should be those, you should be treating those with gray hair as fathers and as mothers, showing deference and honor, eager to serve, listening respectfully whenever they are speaking. When I was a kid, I think I failed at this in many ways. My grandmother, who is one of the most godly Christian women I know, or I knew, would often call our house. Now, you got to think, this was before we all had cell phones. So we had a home phone. But we had a home phone that had caller ID on it. And from my perspective, Grandma would call at the most inopportune of times. And you knew when Grandma called, she would want to talk a really long time. And so we would sometimes fight about who had to answer the phone and talk to Grandma. Now, in hindsight, I wish I had never done that. My grandma passed away in 2011, and I cherish every moment that I was the one to take those phone calls. But I wish I had respected her. I wish I had listened to her more. I wish I had honored her more and had an eager desire to hear and to honor my grandma. And if you have an attitude like that, or you check your heart and there's a heart like that in you towards the elderly, then that's something that you can confess to the Lord. That's something that you can bring to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all our unrighteousness, and then by the grace of Christ, give you all the grace that you need to act differently and to truly show that honor and to truly show that respect that is owed to those with gray hair. This is an area that we must not look like the world. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and act differently towards those that have gray hair. So we need to think differently about gray hair. We need to act differently towards gray hair. And then finally, we should understand that gray hair is earned. We should understand that gray hair is earned. Remember I said earlier, first line in Hebrew poetry states something. Second line clarifies, it expands. That's what we have happening here. Again, Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Now that's been implied, but here it says it outright. Just because you are old and gray does not mean that you wear this crown of glory. It is obtained through a righteous life. Hey, the crotchety old man with gray hair who spends his days in bitterness and malice and slander does not wear this crown of glory. Hey, the wealthy old man who has spent every day of his retirement indulging himself and enjoying the pleasures of this life with little to no thought of Christ in the church does not wear this crown of glory. Or the old gray-haired lady spending her days propagating liberal agendas while teaching as an adjunct professor in universities, while marching in pride parades and ushering women into abortion clinics, does not wear this crown of glory. The crown of glory is earned by walking wisely with the Lord Jesus for a lifetime. It is gained through decades of fearing the Lord. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So imagine the wisdom that a person has who has been fearing the Lord for decades of their life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So day after day, year after year, decade after decade, a person is walking, not perfectly in the fear of the Lord, but striving to fear the Lord, growing always in the knowledge of the Word, striving to grow in righteousness, putting off sin, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing sin, repenting of sin, learning from one's failures. Putting into practice the wisdom of the Proverbs for a lifetime, enduring trials and tribulations and suffering and learning through those trials and tribulations that the grace of Christ is sufficient for them. Having raised children and even grandchildren who are now themselves walking with the Lord and is the glory of their mother and their father, loving and pouring oneself out for the local church, loving her, serving her, and at times having to bear with her in love. This is the way to achieve the crown of glory, beloved. It is gained in a righteous life. And most importantly, that righteous life is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No one can come to the end of their life and be boastful in their own righteousness and be considered wise. The one who recognizes any righteousness in my life, and any wisdom gained from it is by the grace of Christ alone. That is the one that wears the crown of glory, the man of humility. When the Apostle Paul got near the end of his life, he says in Philemon chapter 1, verse 9, that he was an old man. And that's around the same time he wrote the book of Philippians. And so as an old man, I want to read you what Paul said about his own righteousness. Paul was able as an old man to look back on his life and see that any righteousness he had was not of his own, but depended on Christ. Philippians 3:9, Paul says, I want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Wisdom is gained through a righteous life. The crown of glory is earned through a righteous life, but the truly wise one is the one who recognizes that all of our righteousness and all of our obedience and all of our wisdom comes through faith in Christ, and it depends on faith in Christ alone. That's what matters most. Are you depending on Christ by faith? Whether you're young, whether you're old, that's what matters most. We are depending on Christ, on His grace, on His mercy for any wisdom, any righteousness that we may have. That is the one that wears the crown of glory. In just a few moments after we take of the Lord's Supper, Roger's going to lead us in a familiar song, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me. That is the refrain of a wise man. That is the refrain of a wise woman. If you have met someone in the last years of their life, they have gray hair, and they are still saying over and over, it's not me, it is Christ in me, then you have met someone that is wearing the crown of glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many crowns in this room. Father, I thank you for the fathers and mothers of this room, spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers that we have been blessed with. Many in here, Lord, that I know would say, it is not I, it is Christ in me. And Father, we pray that you would help us that are younger to show more honor and more respect to those that wear the crown of glory. Father, we pray that that would be what we all strive for in our youth. Lord, that we would use our energy and our vigor and what you've given to us in our young age, God, and we would use that to fear the Lord. We would use it to grow in wisdom. We would use it to depend on Christ by faith. Father, I pray that you would help us to be a congregation and to be a church that lives in this world. But in this regard, we are not like the world. But Father, help us to stand out distinctly different, that we would show honor to those who have gray hair, who have the crown of glory obtained through a righteous life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.